QSC, QSC, QSC. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. Alrighty, only announcement I have here is that we have our field day exercises this upcoming weekend at Bear Mountain parking lot. So if you're a member of the club or if you're not a member of the club, doesn't matter. Come on up, help us, make some contacts, get on the radio. A lot of fun, a lot of stuff going on there from 11 o'clock Saturday to 11 o'clock Sunday. So if you're a ham, like to participate, come on up. Appreciate that. Topic for the evening will be repeaters 101 and maybe 202. I'm going to go over some basic operations of repeaters, a little courtesy stuff for the newbies out there that just got their license, and trying to help everybody out there get comfortable with our repeater. Alrighty. Let's see here. I seem to have something going on here. Let's see. We will now do the check-ins. Stand by. Alrighty. Well, WB6CLZ, Mike, be out there.
This is WB6CLZ down in Placentia. We're standing by for the net.
Alrighty, WB6CIM, Cindy.
Hi, Tom. This is WB6CIN.
All right, Cindy, glad to have you out there. Oh, let's see here. KA6CIA, George. George, don't know if that's you trying to get in there, but don't quite hear you out there. How about KE6RJ, Harry? And as you heard, moving right along here, we have AF6ZJ, Guy in Rosemont. And as you heard, KJ68ZS, Mike. And that's her, KJ6FIL, Mike, Redwood.
Top of the evening, all. KJ6FIL.
Hey, Mike, glad to have you out there. Alrighty, KJ6LEF, John. And I can hear KF6VH, Bob. And I can hear, how about KJ6KDL, Jim?
This is KJ6KDK, Rosemary, and also please check in Jim, KJ6KDL, he's listening.
All right, Rosemary, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. Moving right along here. Okay, W6GZI, Frank. And I can hear KI6IQA, Kelly. And here's K6GVL, Ron in Green Valley.
Good evening, Tom. K6GVL, Ron, Green Valley Lake.
Hey, Ron, glad to have you out there. Drove right down there by 18, going by your way this morning and this afternoon. Nice to have 330 back open. AD6PL, Harold.
Evening, AD6PL.
All right, Harold, glad to have you out there. How about K6LCS? Quinn. I know he'll be with us in a bit. I heard him on there earlier. How about W6AWL, Art? And nothing heard. W6JLM, Judith. And nothing heard. W6KMM, Ken. Nothing heard. How about KI6OHN, John? And nothing heard. K6YNW, Chris. Nothing heard. W6KVC, Gary. Nothing heard. KD6LAN, Bill.
KD6LAN, listening.
Hey, Bill. I was wondering if my radio was working there for a minute. Let's see here. How about K6HAL, Rudy? And nothing heard. Let's see here. It's KJ6BCK. Adam, are you out there? And nothing heard. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Yeah, good evening to everybody. Mike, I rush, you know, and I don't know what to say, but I am here.
Okay, Victor, glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. KE6VHM, Frank. Nothing heard. KA6ROD.
Good evening, everyone. KA6ROD.
Hey, Rod, glad to have you out there. How about KJ6DBF, Leon, Carol Bearer? And nothing heard. KB6LTY, Christy. Nothing heard. AE6TV, Hans. And nothing heard. We'll give a courtesy check in case he's listening to K6EKX, which is Robert, ACS's dad. Moving right along here and getting close to the end here. See if we have K6TUX, Geek. Nothing heard there. And NQ7RD, Rick in Corona.
Greetings, one and all of the net. This is Rick in Corona, NQ7RD. Time on my silent new radio. You do check radar.
Okay, Rick, we got a copy on the audio there. A lot of noise behind you, but 100% copy. So glad to have you out there. Appreciate that. And I do believe that's pretty much our list of regulars. Anybody else out there would like to check in, please come back to KF6Q.
K6HCS, sorry, I missed roll call.
Oh, no problem there, Mike. Wondering if we're going to have to send out search and rescue. Anybody else out there would like to check in, please come back.
W6ITC is listening.
W6ITC, Rod, over there in Lake Williams. Anybody else? Alrighty, anybody else can check in at any point in time or join in. Well, let's see. First, let's hand it off to Mike and get our DX report going. Mike, is there any DX? Back to you. KF6Q.
KF6QWB6CLZ. Kind of more of the same, few and far between, and so on and so forth. Right now, Space Weather's reporting a sunspot number of 43, which is still a lot lower than what we would like to see. We just had yesterday, a C7 class flare go off. They're predicting, actually, KB6 storm, on a scale of 0 to 9, 6 is getting up there, and pretty good size. Not a good storm, but they expect that to reach us tomorrow, so things are going to get kind of dicey for a while. But hopefully, when that clears up, which should be right around field day, it'll kind of heat up the ionosphere. Maybe we'll be working some DX stations over field day. We just keep our fingers crossed on that. Anyway, over the weekend, I was playing around on 20 meters worked EG8LP in the Canary Islands off of Spain, both with, he was really good signal here, up in Big Bear, that is. And gave me a report of a 5x7, which is pretty good for 100 watts without an amplifier. I also worked on 17 meters, Suriname, near Guyana. That was PZ5RA, and also good reports from him. And I heard but did not work 5X1 Delta in Uganda, but we didn't get to work him. There was a big pile up on him, so... didn't really get to make a two-way, but we did hear him. So, they're out there to be had. Anyway, so, there's always some DX out there. It's just conditions aren't the way we would like to see it right now. But hopefully that'll pick up, and hopefully field day things will get better, and we'll have a good time and work some rare DX while we're in the field day mode. Okay, back to you, Tom. KF6Q, WB6CLZ.
Okay, Roger that. Is there anybody else out there? Anything to share with DX for the last week, or as actually last anything? Please come back to KF6Q. Okay, Roger that. Don't know if you can hear the third-party dog. He is on coyote alert, and he's DXing with the coyote. Anyway. Well, good deal there, Mike. I guess the solar flare particles are a bad thing, but once that clears up, we should have some good stuff going, so that sounds good. All right, well, we're going to talk about repeater use 101, basically for newbies and anybody out there who's had their license for some time and been on the repeater. Please join in. This is not to educate you on something you already know, but we appreciate the help. So anybody new out there with a license can learn a little bit. Well, Mike, real quick there, what would you say, what is the first thing you do when you got your license, you got your HTL tuned up? What do they always recommend as the first thing to do?
I know the first thing I do is listen, and listen some more. So you can get the hang of it and get the lay of the land and kind of learn what's going on.
Roger that. And I don't think we could say listen enough times. Basically, that'll let you learn about how people handle themselves on the radio. Mostly good, I hope. One of the things, too, is when you turn on your radio and you're all excited and you want to call your buddy out there, don't. Because actually there could be somebody already talking. There could have somebody who's already had a call out there. The courtesy thing. Mike, what would you recommend also on that? I mean, let's say I turn on the radio. What would be a good amount of time just to make sure it's clear?
I would say probably a minute should do it. Somebody's not calling somebody in a minute or maybe even 30 seconds, depending on which machine you're on. But yeah, no more than a minute. If they're talking or if they've just called somebody, that's an awful long time.
Roger that. And that's kind of a good thing. Or you can actually ask if, once you pause for a moment, you don't hear anybody, ask if the repeater's in use, because sometimes we have special events. We use the repeater to help out the group with ECS, and sometimes it's in use for some of the off-roaders up here. And with that, you won't hear anybody out there, but it's good to know if it's in use for the day. So, anyway, we reset.
Matt?
I got a comment there, or go ahead.
KJ6FIL, I think the first thing you do is turn up your volume and make sure that there's nobody else out there.
Very good point. I know many people who have turned on their radio, the volume's down, or the radio's been on, and the volume's down, and they key the mic. And they wonder, well, I wonder why nobody's coming back. Well, good point there, Mike. Volume up is always good. Anything else to add out there, or anybody with that, please come back. Anyway, the other thing there, Mike, I would say that when we first get out there and we're going to call somebody, let's say I'm going to call FIL down there, by the basic requirements of the FCC, I do not have to identify myself at the beginning. I do every 10 minutes, and I do at the end. But it's common sense. If I'm calling Mike out there and he doesn't recognize my voice, he has no clue who I am. So typically, you know, it's a good idea to ID yourself to the person you're calling. And actually, there is an order, but as long as you ID yourself that you are you and who you're calling out, a lot of people do it in reverse order. Not a crime, as long as we know who's who and who's looking for what. Anything else to add out there, CLZ?
You know, and just realize, too, that if you're new especially and make a mistake, it's not life or death. And if anybody comes on and makes a big deal of it, pretends like it is, it's not life or death. Just try to follow procedures and, you know, you're good.
That's good, too. And I guess that will bring us into our next point there. Let's say once we're having a little QSO. Oh, QSO. What's a QSO?
Well, I think that's what we hams use cue signals, and that's what we call a conversation with another ham.
Hey, Roger, that is, we do use that term. Just wanted to make that common knowledge out there. Well, anyway, now, Mike, I know it can be, there can be times when we get a little winded and we talk. If we're going to talk for a long time, what's a good recommendation?
If you're local, if you're like up there in the valley, best thing to do is maybe QSY, which is another Q signal, for a move to a simplex frequency, QSY to simplex, and there are various simplex frequencies you can use. And generally, Q signals, QSY, QSO, QRT, QSB, such and such, are used mostly for CW, but we have kind of get the habit of using them on, you know, on FM, on sideband too, and it's okay. It's just basically they were created for CW to abbreviate, you know, having to spell out the words. But we use them here, and it's perfectly fine. But plain language is also fine too here on 2 meters FM.
Okay, Roger that. Now, I know one thing that we do on CW and sometimes on single sideband, and definitely going to do a lot of this weekend coming up, CQ. CQ. What is that, Mike? I've heard that out there. What is a CQ?
technical term is a general call, and when you're calling CQ, you're looking for another station to call. The CQDX is you want a station kind of out of your area. Depending on what frequency you're dealing with, CQDX on 2 meters could be all this XE2SI in Tijuana that keeps breaking into the repeater here on me. Or it can be on HF on 20 meters. That can be completely around the world. It can be Africa. It can be Guyana. It can be anything like that. So it's basically a general call when you're calling CQ. You want generally anybody to come back to you.
Okay, roger that. And I know that we don't normally use that on FM repeater stuff. I know if you're, let's say you've turned your radio on and nobody's out there and you're just curious to see who's out there, good idea is just announce your call sign. You'll let everybody know that you're monitoring and standing by. Essentially, you're looking in the FM type of jargon. Anybody out there who wants to talk? So, a little bit different, basically same thing. And monitoring, you'll hear somebody like say KF62 is monitoring. And that way I know everybody knows I'm out there. And generally nobody comes back though, except for you might appreciate that. Anything to add?
KI6IQA monitoring.
Well, we'll check you in there, Kelly. Good deal. Glad to have you out there. Anything else, Mike, on the jargon of that and such? I think we got that covered. But also too, we're still looking for Clint out there. When he comes, when he's out there, we'll do the HAMSAT. But back to you right now, Mike.
I'm not sure, Tom, if it still is in the K6BB website or not. I'll go there in a while. But it used to say that on this repeater, the way to make contact is just get on and call CQ. And we hear that quite a bit on Echolink. So that, you know, that is a recommended procedure. But, yeah, like you say, generally it's not used here on FM and FM repeaters.
Alrighty, and talk on it. There's some Morse code, Mike. What would that be? This is KF6Q here on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club Repeater Tech Tuesday. Well, what was that, and what did that mean? Back to you, Mike.
That was K6BB at about 20, 25 words a minute, maybe even 30 words a minute. The other one we've been hearing, too, and I don't know if you guys are hearing it up there, is XE2SI. Sometimes you'll hear that coming through, and that's the Tijuana repeater. And that's just basically the repeater identifier.
And why is it doing that?
Well, heck, you want to know where you're at. That just reaffirms you that you're on the right frequency. It identifies the station.
Ah, but you missed the key point. As long as the repeater is in use, it will identify itself by FCC regs once every 10 minutes, which is kind of a clue to the people using it. If you're talking, it's a good time to ID yourself. It's a reminder. And that way, the next time it comes around, another reminder every 10 minutes. So that's a good point there. Of course, obviously, it may show up 10 seconds after you just started, so you have to judge that. Anyway, well, Mike, anything else to add with the repeater ID?
Thing we know is if you hear the voice identifier, K6BB in the voice, that means that the Echolink is turned on and available for use.
Oh, well, that's a good point there. I didn't know that. I think you can also, though, you can't shut that off with Echolink still being on, but that's good, though. Good to know that. Echolink. What's an Echolink?
That is a way that you can get into this repeater using your computer. You go to Echolink, which is a computer system that is linked with various repeaters and various sites throughout the world that you can access through your repeater with just a microphone and the program. You need to be an amateur radio operator, a licensed amateur radio operator to log in to run the program, but it's kind of cool.
see. How far does that reach? Because our repeater reaches pretty far, but how far does Echolink reach?
Far as there is. That is a terrestrial means.
Ah, you forgot the magic word. Echolink is over the internet. It's an internet link through computers. And actually, it also works on iPhones and devices like that that have internet access. Once again, you must be a ham. You must be, as they call it, verified that you are who you say you are. There's a procedure through that. But anyway, not to get into echoing any more than that, it's another method of actually using the 2-meter repeaters throughout the world, not just in our country. And you don't have a radio, but you do have a computer, or you have an iPhone or something like that, mobile phone of some sort. Even the Android phones have that app. So, kind of cool, kind of different. You have to be a ham, or it won't work for you, but pretty neat. Anything else to add, Mr. Mike?
Well, not concerning that, but I did maybe misspeak. I think that Randy has probably changed where you're supposed to get on the repeater and call CQ if you're in Echolink. I can't find that now, but it was there for a while. And, yeah, that's from Randy, Tom, that when the voice identifier is on, that means Echolink is on.
Ha. Okay. Well, good to know that. And we'll keep a note on that. And, of course, there's IRLP, which is not on our repeater, but is on other systems, other ways of using and linking computers and radio. Well, good deal. All right, so let's see. So we got a repeater, and we kind of know a little bit of protocol. Listen, and try to get our P's and Q's. What would be a good example of, say, you and I are talking, and somebody briefly wants to get a hold of somebody, but, you know, let's say we're involved with our conversation, our QSO, and since we're not jumping the mic real quick there, we leave something in there. What's that, and what's that used for?
You just want to get in, you can either say break just once, or you can just say get on and in plain language say, hey guys, can I use the repeater for a second? Or if you want to join in the conversation, just break in, give your call letter, and 9 times out of 10, whoever has the next transmission will just let you come right back in.
Roger that. If there's room, now if we don't leave room, can't do that, correct?
True. That is very true, and that is a bad habit that I have, is I key the mic and tighten it up. Yeah, you should always wait about a second or two, 1,002, before you key it, and that way it gives a chance for somebody else to get in there.
And if anybody out there is paying attention here, leave those 1 or 2 seconds after the repeater drops out. When I get done transmitting here, you'll hear that the transmission still goes on, the repeater is still locked on for about a second, maybe a second and a half. Do not jump in at that point in time if you're returning the conversation. Give another second or two after that. This leaves space. There is such a thing as emergency traffic. If you want to elaborate, go ahead, Mike.
Question.
And there you go. And that's a good prime example how somebody can get in there. Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to jump back to Echolink for a minute and might clarify something for me. I'm not sure how your system up here works. And some of the people that might want to try Echolink, when the Echolink is on, you don't have a computer near you. You just key up your radio and join in a conversation or put out a call. Is that the way that it operates on this system? 86PO.
Okay, Mike, you want to take that?
I missed that. I was at the computer trying to find that whether it actually had the CQ or not. Still, I was locked into that. One more time. I think what Harold had said, I caught out of the corner of my ear, actually my right ear, is that all if you have somebody on Echolink, all you do is jump on and talk to them. That is correct. We've heard like stations from England before. I worked girl guides group in England, and they just came on and announced that they were there and they were on Echolink, and I just put out a call and we talked to England through Echolink on the repeater. That's all you do is just give them a call.
Okay, Harold, is that clear that up for you?
Yeah, it just, you know, because the way it sounded originally was that, you know, you have to use a computer, and I know a couple of other systems that had Echolink, they got rid of it. As long as it was up and running, why, you could just, if you're mobile or walking around or whatever, you could just go ahead and key up and put out a call on it, and usually you get somebody in Australia. That's the primary people I heard on A86PO.
Okay, roger that. Anyway, Mike, as we were talking about leaving a gap, leaving some space, emergency traffic always has priority. It's a common sense thing to back out, let emergency traffic go through, and if you can assist, fine, but otherwise try to not get in the way. Other than that, I would say that it's good to also keep QSOs open to anybody else who wants to join in, not that you have to. It's a giant road, as Clint was saying, and with many lanes, we all have to share it. There's a lot of cars, and I don't know, he had something he said like that. And he's not out there, but he'll probably join in a bit. Anyway, as far as that, Mike, let's see, are we ready to move on, or anything else you want to add?
Tom Delvo, KF6Q, and Tech Tuesday is WB6CLZ. Well, one thing that the prescribed manner, if it is an emergency, say you're out in your car and you experience somebody in front of you on a rollover on Highway 38 or something, the best way to do it is give a break real quick. And a double break, that always means that it is an emergency. And if someone can help you, good. If not, you know, just put out what you need, and generally you'll get somebody coming right back to you with a landline or whatever you can need that can assist. But always give way in an emergency. I mean, that's just a primary in any aspect of ham radio.
Okay, roger that. And for anybody who's joined in, we're basically doing repeater 101 and maybe 202 if we get that far. All right, well, good deal. So, what is another thing we have to think about? This repeater, which is up there at the top of the hill, up here in Big Bear. When I'm talking to you, Mike, how far am I really talking? Am I just talking to you? Am I talking to the people here in Big Bear? How far is this reaching?
Golly, you're reaching, you particularly are probably reaching, what, maybe 5 miles airline. Your transmitter is hitting the receiver of the repeater, and then it's being retransmitted through that repeater out to quite a range. My gosh, sometimes out past Palm Springs, way out into the desert to the north, also out sometimes north of L.A. to Ventura on the northeast, that way, kind of northwest, rather, and whatever's out to the west, you know, as long as it's not in the shadow of the repeater. In other words, as long as there's not any blocks between it. And sometimes that's a little bit flexible, too, like when we have conditions like we have right now where we get a little bit of inversion layer. That'll bend a little bit and give us even a little bit more distance.
Roger that. A well-known working range of this repeater. There are some shadows in between there, and we'll find out what that means, Mike. What's a shadow? What's a block? But I can clearly talk all the way down to the far side of the Salt Sea. I can talk to Oceanside. I can talk to Mount Whitney. I can talk to parts of Baker, Baker Grade. And let's see, all the way up to Tehachapi, but not over the top into Bakersfield. Let's see, west up into L.A., Torrance, possibly out to Catalina. I think that's a good shot there. So, but anyway, I know it's not solid all the way. What's the block? What's the shadow? Michael, KO6Q here, check Tuesday.
Generally, that is a mountain or a building or something generally pretty solid that that the repeater signal won't go through. I've got a place that I work at in Newport Beach that I can basically, I think, I can see the mountain. But I'm just down into the complex and into a bunch of buildings and stuff that my 30-watt signal will not get through that. So it's basically a solid object between the antenna of the repeater and the antenna of your rig.
Okay, roger that. Just as a quick question, I know some rigs are 5 watts, some are 30, some are 50, some are 70. What's the limit? What's actually the limit? What's our maximum power we can use?
Well, I think that would be 1,000 watts, but 15, no, it's 1,000 watts, but and you may correct me on that, but that is really, you're only supposed to use enough power to get the job done, only enough power to actually communicate. So technically, you're supposed to cut your power down to the lowest power that you can use to effectively communicate.
Okay, Mike, roger that. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's 1,000, 1,500, or whatever, but anyway, you know, that's what you want to do is keep it to the minimum necessary because anything more than that, you'll be definitely hitting out there in areas where you really don't even know you are. And that's one of the issues there. So, well, good deal. So let's see. All right. Now, when I'm talking, I can't hear myself, but how's the repeater work? Does it transmit and receive at the same time?
Yeah, it kind of does, but it goes through what they call a duplexer, and that kind of isolates the incoming signal from the transmitting signal, and vice versa.
Yeah, essentially the duplexer, a very fancy name, is a filter. Essentially, it listens all the time, and then when it picks up the PL code? Wait a minute, there you go. What is a PL code? What does that make it do? And what is that?
Well, I just had a mental block as to what the PL stands for. But basically, it's a tone code that trips a device that allows you to activate this repeater.
I didn't hear any tone.
Because it's a subaudible tone.
So it's a frequency we can hear, as we said in the preamble here, a 131.8. Essentially, that's 131.8 cycles a second, but the volume level is so low that we don't hear it. If we don't transmit that, the repeater, it hears it, and that keys on the transmit section of the repeater. Other than that, it'll listen forever. But it won't transmit. And Mike, how many of these PL codes or whatever it stands for, doesn't really matter, but these tone codes, do you know how many they are? And not that it matters, but obviously there's quite a few.
I want to say there's 50 to 100. I can have that answer to you right quick. But a correction on the power. It's 1,500 watt peak envelope power. I opened a can of worms there. But, you know, I'll get that count for you real quick.
No need. It is 50. There's 50 tones. So, actually, I guess if I keep going through all 50, eventually I could actually get it to trigger the repeater. However, it's probably a good idea just to look it up. program that in. Now, a lot of people, when they first get their HT, the radio is not programmed into any specific PL. In fact, a lot of them are just PL shut off. So, Mike, let's see. I got my HT, and I want to talk, but I can't. I can't bring up the repeater. So, let's see. HT and transceiver. Let's start out with the modes. It's got two modes. What would those be?
I think you're talking about VFO and memory. Is that where we're going?
Roger that. And memory. Okay, if there's nothing in the memory, that reminds me of a few people I know. If there's nothing in the memory, obviously there's nothing there. So when we first start out, we're limited to actually just VFO. What's a VFO? Is that like a UFO? But it's just pointed, right?
Now you're scaring me. That stands for a variable frequency oscillator. And that's a little device inside of here that synthesizes. Used to be in the good old days, we used to control our transmitters by crystals and sometimes receivers. And now they've synthesized that. You can go in there and you can make, you can take your frequency control, your oscillator, and you can make it variable just by tuning a knob rather than by changing crystals. A lot easier, a lot more user-friendly.
KF6Q here, Tech Tuesday, on the Big Bear Hampshire Radio Club repeater, every Tuesday, 1900 hours, conditions permitting. Well, you got me confused now. If I got my HT in front of me, and I'm looking for synthesizers and things, and I want to turn off, I want to do something with this, what do I do?
I think the first thing you're going to have to do with these new rigs is you're going to have to read your manual, and you're going to have to sit there and study it to understand what it's saying. But that's how we're going to help you out, I think. There is a switch or a little button that you push once you turn it on, of course, and it says primary or VFO, and it also says MR and memory write and memory recall. That's kind of where you're headed.
We're close there, but we got to back up a few steps. This is repeater and radio 101. Essentially, you'll see the keypad on there, all the numbers, and you'll find out right off the bat. If you punch the numbers come up on the screen. Next thing you know, there you are. You've actually dialed in a frequency. Of course, it'll only allow you to transmit on frequencies that are in our ham band. That's one thing, it's a good safety. Number two, if you punch those in, if it's single bander, that means 2 meter only, automatically the first number is one. You don't have to punch that in. But let's say like our repeater, 147330. If I punch that into my VFO, well, I bet you I'll be listening to the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. Is that correct?
Yeah, you can listen. You're not quite there where you're going to be able to transmit, though.
Okay, well, this magic these repeaters do, you gotta understand something. They are transmitting and receiving on the same coax through the same antenna at the same time. To give you an example, the received signal, say, coming in from Kingman, Arizona, is so faint, so small. It's like a speck of sand in the cement in a high-rise building. That's the ratio between the actual signal coming in and the signal going out. My goodness, that better be a one good filter.
Yeah, I think it is. that's why this repeater works so well.
Mike, they all work well. They all have to do that, okay? Essentially, we have what's called decibels or ratio of rejection, and that's a very fancy term. What it means is that there's one thing we haven't told you or everybody out there. 147330 is where the repeater will transmit out. You're hearing me right now on 147330. but I'm transmitting into the repeater on a different frequency. It listens just a little bit up, so it's got a little bit of distance there. And what do we call that, Mike?
I think we call that the offset, and I think that standard offset is about 600 kilohertz. Not very much, but just enough.
Roger that. If that offset was less, our filter would simply have to be better. As we get off frequency and that offset gets larger, then the filter still has to be good. But it's tuning to another frequency that gets further and further away from the other. That's separation. So right now, standard is 600 kilohertz. That's 0.6, and our frequency of 146.330, 000 again, okay, is a lot. Excuse me, that's 147.330 megahertz. And anyway, the ratio is huge to the offset versus the frequency. But we want to, basically we have that offset. So all right, Mike, now if we got everybody confused, including myself here. So I got this VFO, or whatever it is, but it's I'm programming in that, and I got this offset. I set the PL. I get all that in there. Should that get me into the repeater?
If you've got your tone right, if you've got your offset right, I think we're getting there.
Okay, the offset a lot of times is automatic because these are standard repeater frequencies. So we may not have to set that. We turn on the PL so it has a PL. We set the PL so it's the right one. And we set the frequency right. So that's three things. Well, once we have that, we should be good to go. I think that's the primary thing there. The direction of the offset is kind of an automatic, but that has to be set too, but usually automatic. So we have these three things. Now, I don't want to have to punch this in every time I turn on my radio. So what do I do with this? Oh, wait a minute. What did you say about memory?
I think you're going to go to your manual, and you're going to have to figure out how to assign that memory, that tone, and that offset, which is normally automatic, to, let's say, on this radio, I'm looking at memory 1. Right now, I'm transmitting on 147.930, and I've got a access tone, a CTSS tone of 131.8, and that should make it fly.
Okay, I think where we're going with this is you program this stuff in to your radio, and then you save it. You write it to the memory. You save that to the memory. So there it is. It's in memory. So now if we go over to memory mode, we've got one set of things in there. You can also set power, quite a few different things. All that works together. And then we can go, I guess we could do more than one, right?
Well, there are literally using different banks of memories. There are, I think this radio has 200 that are available.
Okay, Roger that. I think the FT60 has like 1,000. A lot of the single banders have 200. That's a whole lot. But now, let's see, you were talking, I don't think we did talk about that. Well, we're using a repeater, that's pretty cool. But what if you're like 2 blocks away or 10 miles away? Do we have to use that repeater?
Oh, if you're close by and you think you could make it, like if I was right down the block and I wanted to talk to you, we would go to simplex, and then we just do away with the repeater. Common simplex calling frequency here on 2 meter FM is 146.52. Yeah, we'd use that, and we wouldn't tie up the repeater in case there was an emergency or somebody else farther away wanted to use it.
Okay, well, is simplex right next to placentia? Is that where I go? No, okay, just a joke. Simplex, the term of basically talking one-to-one on a frequency that is not used by a repeater. Once again, making sure that the frequency is open. There's actually probably, what, maybe a dozen or two in the band that are, you know, allowed for that. There's actually more if you actually want to fine-tune and go narrow band. But anyway, well, that would be good. So then we're kind of like just talking to each other, or are we? Is that a private line?
Comment.
Go ahead, comment.
This is KJ6FIL. Me and Mike, KJ6HCS, we kind of do it all the time. He's up there in Big Bear, and I'm down here in Deadlands, and we go to Simplex, and we can sit here and talk, no problem. Sometimes we can get Chris in there and have a nice little QSO.
KF6Q here, Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. And FYI, if I sound funny, all this nice, beautiful dust coming off these oak trees all around my house. I have a congested nose, and my face is swollen up. Other than that, I'm fine. Anyway, and I'm doing the best I can to talk without sounding crazier. Well, that's good, Mike. Yeah, I have actually had Simplex with a vehicle by Ontario Airport up to here, and, you know, that's pretty cool. So 10 miles is by far no problem whatsoever, and that's a neat thing. But appreciate that. That's a good point. A lot of people do that just to stay off the repeater. But one more thing, and I'm going to throw that back to CLZ. Is that a private line?
No, Tom, unless you have some sort of a something to scatter. Yeah, no, there are no such things as private lines in amateur radio.
Ah, roger that. Okay, so remember, if you're using the repeater with a huge footprint or even a simplex frequency with a shorter footprint, it's wide open. Anything you say, everybody's out there can hear you. Be cautious on your language. Use professional courtesy and language both. And that's what I'm basically aiming at. You may be over where nobody's at, but there could be somebody else there listening. So not to worry about that. Perfectly fine, but, you know, just remember, you're broadcasting to the world. Anyway, Mike, anything to add?
I kind of am too lax on this myself, too. As an ex-Navy radioman, security is something you guys want to worry about, too. I mean, I'm not worried. Just be aware of that there are people with scanners. There are a lot of people that can hear this machine quite a ways away with a footprint like this. You know, you've got to kind of watch what you say and not tell anybody information that you really don't want them to hear. Because it is a potential that they could use that and, you know, use it against you in ways that you do not want them to use that against you. So it's something you have to really be aware of.
Exactly, and that's actually the point I'm trying to get to. You know, hopefully nobody would do that, but hey, it's possible. So, all right, so we've covered Simplex, kind of how the repeater works, kind of neat. And I've got old HT. I know that I've hit the repeater in Big Bear with 5 watts from your house, basically, in Placentia. And that's been with a rubber duck, believe it or not. It's amazing just what VHF can do. It's so much better and cleaner than CB, which is still 5 watts, but a lot better deal. Well, anyway, so we've kind of done the 101 thing there a little bit. Anybody would like to also add in, help those newbies out there, anything we've missed, please come back and add into this.
And second GTC comment.
Yeah, go ahead.
N6GTC, Riverside. I tuned in a little late, so I'm not sure if Echolink was covered as well. N6GTC.
We we skimmed over it a little bit just to let everybody know that it does exist a little earlier on and that it uses the internet. And I know that it's probably a good way to get on the air, per se, without having to buy a radio if you've got a sound card and a mic for your computer, so and also a good chance to actually talk around the world. But yeah, we did cover that. Appreciate that, though. Anybody else without anything to add about just basic radio 101 for our new hams and new listeners out there?
Romeo Delta.
I believe that's Rick and Corona. Go ahead.
Appreciate it, Tom. Yeah, I was just wondering, when you and Mike are going back and forth, I noticed, he's not the only one that does it, but there's like 90% of people on 2 meter does it, is that he continuously says your call sign. And, you know, it's not like any chat where we're talking skip, but I was just wondering, is that just a habit that people picked up where they constantly say the other person's call sign when they're having a conversation rather than just, you know, calling him or calling you Tom or Net Control or Mike or Jim or Bob? You know, if there's more than one Bob, then maybe, you know, PL Bob or FT Bob, whatever the last call sign. I'm just wondering why people constantly say the other person's call sign numerous times during the conversation. That's all. Thank you, 790.
Well, Rick, that's a very good point, and that's actually a very bad habit, as I've been told. I probably do ID a little bit more than normal with the net, just for people who join in a little bit late, just to know who's out there. But essentially, rules and regs. Don't have to ID yourself at the beginning. You do have to ID within 10 minutes after that, and you have to ID at the end. So anything else in between is way above and beyond what you have to do. But yeah, there's, you know, we do tend sometimes as a habit, people will do that. I know people that ID after every transmission, just probably a habit they're in, but yeah, that's definitely overkill. So, good point, and I hope that, you know, kind of clears that up. Yes, bad habit. Anything else, anybody out there, questions or stuff to ask, please come back.
RD again.
Comment.
Okay, Rick, go ahead, and then we have another guy after you. I think it's Kelly. Go ahead, Rick.
Oh, no, Tom, it wasn't the multiple times saying the call, your own call sign after every conversation or ever, after every key-up. It's saying the other person's call sign that you're talking to is what I'm questioning. You know, like if you were doing HF talking skip, say from here to Japan, and Hawaii hears Japan but doesn't hear you, so Japan gives the U.S. call sign, so Hawaii knows that Japan is talking to U.S., things like that during skip on HF, but that doesn't happen on 2 meters. But yet there's, you know, people saying 3-4 call signs of the round table, if you will, and just wondering why, rather than just being concerned of their own call sign. Thank you, 7RD.
Okay, Raj, that's before I hand it over to Kelly. Yeah, a lot of times in a round table, they'll to be proper to hand it to the next person so that it, you know, goes in the same direction and hands off to that specific person. But, yeah, anyway, I think that's what you meant. Kelly, go ahead.
You covered it, Tom, as usual. KI6IQA.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Well, anyway, getting used to all the different facets and things of VHF and radio, a lot of fun, a lot of stuff to learn. I'm going to call on a guy out there who's listening. I think he's still listening out there, KJ6HZS. Mike, are you out there?
Yeah, Tom, I'm back here. I just got through barbecuing. Go ahead.
And another coyote bites the dust. No, I was just kidding. All right. Well, Mike, you've been a ham getting close to a year or just over or just under. What would you say as a real common thing to anybody new out there who just got their license? After being in there for about a year, I know you feel comfortable on the radio. You kind of got adjusted pretty quick. just give us a personal opinion of how it was when you started and where you're at now.
I've had my ticket for a little over a year, and yeah, I was a little nervous to begin with, but then you realize that, you know, you're just talking in the microphone and talk to someone you probably know, or even if you don't know them, it's friendly and it's fun. It's just a matter of listening and just having a fun time, basically. I enjoy it. I can't wait to upgrade and expand on that.
Roger that. And I think that's the main thing, is that everybody out there is nervous. I know a lot of people do not feel comfortable talking to the group. You know, and that's perfectly fine. Perfectly fine. Radio is a good backup. It's a good hobby. You don't have to get on there and give a speech every day. It's good to get in touch with some new people, some new friends, to meet new people. And then, on that note, we're going to get into field day here this weekend. We will be able to help you out. Anybody out there has got some issues with programming your HTs, bring them out. And we'll give you a hand. That'll be myself. I think KJ6KDL is going to help me out with that. Probably even get Mike over there. Yeah, if there's something that you're a little bit foggy on, bring the manual, just in case, and we'll go through that puppy and get it all squared away. Anybody else out there, in closing, any comments, please come back to KF6Q.
86PL.
86PL. Harold, go ahead.
Hi, I just want to let you know, and people that may not be that familiar with this little 2-meter stuff, mine is in my car. I'm fortunate I'm able to put a mast on the back of it, and I have my antenna up. Tip is at 12 foot. Everyone saw there's a little tree in there in the way, but it kind of bounces back. But I picked out places. I used to have a group of places here in Riverside were really hot spots for 2-meter. And one of them, I would sit there and talk to the repeater in Hemet, which is on top of a 6-story hospital, and work that, well, once or twice a week. It's, they moved it on the hill. It got hit by lightning the first week. I put a new one back down where the old one was, and it's never, from this position, been the same again. But the really nice part, let me reset. The nice part, one of my hot spots, which has disappeared, the telephone company messed it up. But at that time, Catalina was putting their machine back on the island. It had been over here on the beach somewhere, and they had taken it back to the island and the guy was tuning it. And I happened to be listening, and with 5 watts, I was sitting here in Riverside working the repeater on Catalina Island, and the guy had gave me a 5.9, said that wanted to know if I could drop below that, which I can't. That's my minimum. But I sat here and helped him gave him signals as long as he was tuning it toward this direction. After he moved out of this direction, why I had to drop off. That's what you can do at 2 meters. 86 feel.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks, Harold, for that. Yeah, there's a lot of neat things out there. And if you can get a hold of a repeater book or a repeater guide, and it is important to kind of get one that's current, they do change. There has been a few that have gone private. Private meaning that it's not open to the public. Well, of course, you can transmit there. They will kind of frown on that. Then there's semi-closed, where after you try it out for a while, possibly join and support their repeater. Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater is open. It is sponsored by the club. If you'd like to be a member, we would appreciate that. It's a great thing to do, and I think it's something like $20 a year or so. A little small donation helps the repeater operators to keep it all going and for repairs and stuff like that. But anyway, there are quite a few repeaters in our area around here in Southern California. and it's good to know and have a few of those programmed in, because I think Keller can hit some places that Big Bear can't. Big Bear can hit some places that Keller can't. Those two right there probably would cover a lot of the area. So, good to know. Good to know. Anybody else out there, any comments on any of the things we talked about tonight? Please come back.
Might have a quick comment before we close down here.
The voice from Placentia. Go ahead, Michael.
I think I forgot. By the way, this guy right here is in Germany and doing about 27 words a minute. What is it? UA2KW, and he's in Germany. That's kind of cool, on 20 meters. Just wanted to mention that Echolink, with just two computers, you can do simplex. Each person has their own node. You can dial them up, and you can do simplex from Echolink also. You don't have to go through this repeater, and that's kind of cool. Mark and I, MRK, W6MRK, have done that a couple of times. Anyway, good net tonight, and I just want to say, anybody that can, get out to field day. It's a great time. You can spend some time operating, even if you don't have a class license. If you've got an extra general class on-site, you can work HF bands and have a heck of a time, and you would be more than welcome up there. And the food is pretty good, too, in the evenings. Okay, this is WB6CLZ.
Okay, Mike, appreciate that. Yeah, just a little update there. Of course, we will be setting up equipment by regs starting Friday at noon, and we'll be back in there at Saturday morning, probably early 30. Field day itself starts at 11 a.m. our time, Pacific time here, and we'll run through 11 a.m. Sunday, 24 hours. So always can use help on the operators. A lot of fun. Even if you come out and just operate for even 5 or 10 minutes, it'd be pretty cool. It's a lot of fun. You'll get used to that HF stuff. Little bit different. I know what it is, Mike, between FM and HF. HF has static. My wife told me so. Anyway, anybody else out there, any comments? Please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday. All righty, well, hearing none, and hope we have helped somebody out there, the newbies out there listening in. I know there's a few out there with just scanners, probably thinking about getting their license. And if you are, this Sunday, at the last Sunday of the month, at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station, we will be doing ham testing. You can get your tech license, or you can upgrade. Starts at 1 o'clock at the Big Bear Lake Fire Station in Big Bear Lake, right there, just a little bit east of the boulevard, or the main drag there of Pine Knot. We always have a testing group there, and everybody is welcome. Walk-ins are accepted. Not a problem. If you want to get in touch with me, if you want to know what to bring, give me an email at KF6Q. That's Kilo Foxtrot 6 Quebec. KF6Q at ARRL.net. I'll get you all set up there. All right. Any questions, Mike? I think we've got it all covered here with the questions and answers. So, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, acting as net control for the Tech Tuesday net, closing the net at 2000 hours and 7 minutes local time, returning the repeater to normal use. I want to thank everybody for listening in, participating, and if we don't see you at field day, we'll see you back here next Tuesday. KF6Q, and I'll be hanging out here for a bit.